This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Ian, Bonnie, and Aria joining you here tonight. We're talking about some money-related things. Coming up, Generation Z, maybe not so great with their finances. It sounds like they want to avoid having to change due to the changing financial situation, meaning that inflation is happening. Okay, maybe you should cut your budget a little bit. Cut back on some of the things like a trip to Starbucks every day that you don't really need to get along
with. You're sounding so boomer victim blaming right now.
Well, we're going to get into it coming up here.
I mean, that's what I did, right? My electric bill climbed through the freaking roof. So I was like, well, this light's going off.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't use this crap regularly enough.
Yeah, but it's not like they can't complain about the situation.
Well, yeah.
I'm not talking about complaining. I'm talking about
avocado
refusing
toast.
To deal with it. That's what we're going to talk about coming up here in a moment. But that's on the way. We're going to your phone calls and thoughts first.
You know, he's not blaming avocado toast.
I like avocado toast. No, that was me all the time.
That was an article that came out in 2016 that millennials can't afford to buy their own houses, and we found out the reason is because they're spending money on avocado toast.
Let's go to Ricky. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you, there, Brother Ian, Sister Bonnie, Sister Ari.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, yeah, I just caught this one on the news, and I pretty much got all the details. Now, you know, we're all used to seeing. You know, all these cop shootings and people getting killed. And
I'm tired of it. I'm sick of seeing it, but yes.
I'm tired of it, too. And it's usually unnecessary.
Yep.
It's always.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I don't know about that.
Cops aren't supposed to give somebody a punishment, even if the punishment is, like, not killing them. They're not supposed to at all. So it's never necessary.
Yeah, there was a sci-fi thriller written about this called Judge Dredd that Sylvester Stallone completely misunderstood, and he thought, you know, it was a glorification of police brutality when the actual subject matter was firmly against police officers being judge, jury, and executioner, which is what they are when they kill people.
Well, look, I won't say it's never appropriate. I mean, certainly...
defend themselves, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, there was this one circumstance, for instance, here in Keene, where some crazy guy had a knife to a girl's throat in their home or whatever, and the police, they did shoot that guy.
That's just because that's okay for any human to do. It's not like,
yeah.
I mean, that's like defending another person, your own property,
sure.
Or yourself.
But
that's it.
Right, but there are plenty of circumstances where the police... use way too much force.
Well, I believe police should be unarmed. Like, but when you put on your badge or you become a police officer, you should be stripped of all your weapons. Mm. Only citizens should have guns. They're too dangerous for police.
What else, Ricky? What about
IQ.
What did you come across?
I wanted to say about this since everybody talked about everything. See, here's the deal. This happened, I guess, about a month or so ago, and they played the body cam footage today. Now, here's what happened.
Was it? Where was it?
It was in Farmington.
Where's that?
I don't know. Isn't that Virginia, I think, maybe?
There's probably a few Farmingtons
out
there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but that doesn't matter.
Okay.
But here's what happened. Three cops were told to come to an address. There was three cops, so it must have been something serious. And here's what happened. They knock on the door.
Hold on, because I've seen multiple police officers and cruisers respond to somebody pulled over for a taillight. No, I want to dispute your allegations that multiple police officers showing up means it's serious.
How can you dispute something when I didn't even talk about it yet?
Because, Ricky, you literally said, and you know it was serious, because they got three cops there when I've seen multiple cruisers show up for someone with a busted taillight.
That's absolutely true. Okay, so it was New Mexico, Farmington, New Mexico. And I did hear about this. I did not watch the footage, however, where they apparently killed somebody who was in... a house that they raided the wrong house and they killed a completely innocent
person. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker on this one, Ian.
Yeah.
See, what happened is They knocked on the door. The guy answered the door. And here the guy was 52 years old. He was standing there in his bathrobe pointing a handgun at them.
Oof.
Now, what ended up happening is all three cops immediately emptied their clips into him.
Then, maybe he thought that they were just a, a intruder that wasn't
sure.
The cops.
Yeah.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. Aria, Bonnie, can I tell you something? Now, here's the way this ended up. The wife got involved. Then ultimately, they had a kid. The kid called 911. Now, they're on paid leave for the past 2 months.
Of course
they
are.
And the chief of police apologized. But here's my answer to this. For somebody that has carried a gun and things like that, if that was me and I knocked on the door and somebody just opened it and they're pointing a gun right at me, I'm not going to tell them to drop it. I'm going to fire my weapon, period. That's why this one's different, and that's why they're on paid leave.
Did they just knock the door? Knock on the door?
Yes, they knocked on the door. I heard the body cam footage.
So you think that answering the gun...
I heard them on Mobile Magazine.
So you think that answering the door with the capability of defending yourself warrants the death penalty?
Now, Aria, have you ever carried a gun?
Yes.
Okay, now...
Can you answer my question?
Okay, no,
now that I've answered yours?
Listen, let me ask you this.
Can you answer the question?
Say you were coming, Aria, say you were coming over to my house, right? All right? And you knock on the door. Say you didn't know it was me.
Why would I be going to your house if I didn't know it was you?
Listen.
I need you to explain. Am I just going up to random houses here and trying to break in?
You're going up
it does matter. Right? It absolutely matters.
Aria, you're argumentative. Say you're going to a door, right, of anybody's house.
Why am I going there?
The door.
Door knocking for political campaign.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you knock on the door, okay? The person opens the door, but they're already pointing a gun at you.
Okay.
You have a weapon on you. Are you going to tell them to drop it?
I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm going to back away because I'm on their property.
You're on their property for one thing, and for another thing, those cops had to be already pointing a gun at him in order to shoot him fast enough. You don't know that.
Let me really answer your question, Ricky.
How could he possibly have unholstered their gun and pulled it out and pointed at him and shot him faster than he could shoot him?
It looks like they did.
So could I be with my revolver? That person be dead.
No, that's exactly the problem we're having, though, here, Ricky, is that if this person, when they answer their door, they have a gun pointed at me, if they wanted to shoot and kill me, they could do that. They could have done that easily as soon as they opened the door. But they didn't do that. They just held a gun. That suggests to me that they're only interested in defending themselves from this unknown intruder at their house.
But Ari, if you tell them to drop the gun, that person's going to fire.
What lawful right do I have to knock on someone's door and demand them drop their weapon?
Cops.
That's crazy.
They were trying to go to the right address.
That's crazy. Man,
it was a mistake.
If someone knocked on our door right now, and none of us here are armed, but if I knocked on someone's door right now and they answer the door with a gun, that doesn't give me any justification or right to shoot them.
If they're pointing it at you, maybe it does.
If I'd be out any capacity in public, somebody pulls a gun on me.
Okay, that changes. You're changing the variables. We're not in public.
Well, they're outside somebody's house in this particular case. Look, I get what Ricky's saying here. If somebody points a gun at you, that is a threat to your life. You have the right to respond with force.
You're trespassing on their property.
Well, I understand. It's not a trespass. Hold on.
That means cops changes nothing. Cops don't get to kill people because they're cops. That never changes anything.
No doubt. But you're not trespassing unless you've been warned to leave.
Okay, fair point.
Unless it's posted. Okay, and in most houses around here, for instance, it's not posted. You can
walk
up to somebody's
door. We don't know it's not posted at this house.
I understand that, but you can walk up to somebody's door and you can knock on it, and that's completely legal. You're not trespassing.
Sure.
And if that person comes out, opens the door, and levels a gun at you, that is a threat to your life. You have a right to respond. You don't have the obligation. At least in, I should say this. This isn't legal advice.
I think that they are defending themselves.
In a state in which you have what is it called? You don't have to back away.
Right? Stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Thank you. In a stand your ground state, you know, even though you're on their property, they're now threatening to kill you. You don't have to just take their bullet. You can respond. Now, what's not clear here, Bonnie, in this video, is how this man was holding the gun.
I would absolutely agree, though, that you should never point a gun at someone that you do not intend to kill, right? The, the homeowner here was in the wrong, and so much as he was in the wrong, it was wrong of him to point the gun at someone.
Well, the police were at the wrong address in the first place. And
maybe he recognizes that police officers are an innate threat, and that's why he did it.
Well, they did shoot him and kill him.
It's a really bad plan.
It's a bad plan. I just don't think that he was necessarily wrong. They were on his property as a gang.
It's wrong, but it's stupid. It's a bad
I'm not
move.
Saying it's not stupid. He's dead.
Yeah.
This was one of the reasons that I stopped carrying a firearm long before the government took away my right to bear arms. Because if you're ever in an altercation or in a fight with someone, as soon as you introduce a gun to that equation, someone is going to get shot. There's no undoing that situation.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. I do appreciate it. I had not watched this video. I'd only seen the headlines and basics about it.
And we only have the cop's word that he pointed the gun at him.
Well, they have the body camera.
You said you can't see it.
No. You've got the... Well, okay. Well, I didn't know which he you meant. So what you can tell from this footage is that at least the officer in the video we're watching here did not have the gun pointed at the man at the door.
Then I don't believe their story. If we can't see that he answered the door pointing the gun at him, then
that's
I don't believe it because
clear.
It doesn't make sense that he, the cop, was able to grab his holster, point the gun at that guy, and then shoot him before he shot them. It sounds stupid. I don't believe it.
It does seem unlikely, and this was one of the questions that I started to ask Ricky. Is, I mean, you don't have the time. If I knock on the door and someone opens the door with a gun pointed at me, reaching for my weapon is tantamount to suicide.
Yeah, right. Like, they would shoot you because you reached for your weapon. If I was in that situation, I think this is what I would do. My arms would be up and I'd be backing away, like... out of here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wrong house.
I wouldn't go away from that situation.
You're
saying
if you're
the cop? The person knocking on the door. I wouldn't necessarily say, like, there was nothing wrong with that situation. I would think that person was crazy, stupid, and, like, I wouldn't think it was okay that they pointed a gun at me, but I also would not have shot them, and I think I would be wrong
you're
if I did.
You're saying if someone pointed a gun at you, you would just back away?
Because if I had a gun on me and I put my hand down, I'm going to die before I got my gun out of my holster.
Mm-hmm.
I've been held at gunpoint.
I think the only thing that you could do in that situation would be like, hey, man, I don't want any trouble backing up, walking away.
Well, the thing that's not clear in this footage is what exactly the man does. The alleged, you know, they say this guy walked out of this front door or opened the front door with a gun in hand. And it's not clear whether the gun was pointed at the officer or not from this footage. It does kind of look like the man raises, like he may not have had the gun raised when the door opens, but it does look like he may be raising it.
If he's raising it, it wasn't raised when the door was open.
It may not have been in this case. But if he is raising a gun, that I think that that would mean that the officer was within their rights to shoot him in that case.
I'm suddenly more concerned about the fact that they were at the wrong house, because when I lived in Mississippi, this happened in a town nearby where I live, where the police showed up to serve a warrant. By the way, they ended up not having a warrant. And they went to the wrong house. They went into this trailer and they shot and killed men, shooting him in the back of his head as he ran away from them. Even though they were at the wrong house and they didn't have a warrant in the first place. I've delivered pizzas before, right? I know how easy it is to find the correct house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so difficult for police to get the address right?
That's true.
They're executing one of these warrants.
I never have dropped an Uber Eats order off at the wrong house.
Yeah, never. In all my years of delivering pizzas, have I done that?
Yeah, if you've seen this story, I'm curious to see the other officer's footage, because the clip in this Reuters article is just from one officer, but apparently there were two, three maybe at this scene. There's at least two that you can see, because you can see another pair of hands to the officer's right. So
long is the video before they get to the door knocking? Because one thing is they could have been like yelling, like, put your, like, come out with your, you know, they could have been yelling and he could have thought they were just like regular thugs.
Could be. I don't know, Bonnie, because, you know, you don't get to see the full unedited footage. This is just a clip that is being, that I found on a Reuters site. So you'll have to look for it to see if you can find a longer version. In theory, the police should release the full footage from, you know, before the police arrive at the house to, you know, whenever the ambulance gets there or whatever. All of that should be recorded, but you don't get to see that in this particular case. But the thing to take away from this, beyond whether or not who was right about shooting who, is the police apparently realized they were at the wrong address before the gunfire happened.
Then why didn't they leave? I don't understand this. That was like right when they knocked on the door.
Because police don't de-escalate situations.
Yeah.
They escalate them until the point where someone dies.
It's the low IQ thing.
The right thing to do here would be like, oh, I'm sorry, man. We're at the wrong house anyway.
They say the video shows one officer knocking on a door decorated with an Easter bunny three times and announcing the police are present in the span of about 1 to 1.5 minutes. While they wait, two officers discuss whether they have the correct address and chuckle when they realize a mistake has been made. One officer then curses and backs away, almost as though he maybe was trying to leave, but then the door opens, the officer yells, "Hands up," and the video shows Dodson raising what appears to be, this is the victim, what appears to be a handgun before officers open fire.
So Ricky lied.
Sounds like it.
What did Ricky say?
Ricky said he opened the door with the gun pointed at him. This article says he raised his gun.
Which, of course, is one of these situations where the officer telling you what to do is their excuse for killing you, right?
Yeah, like, but this is not a lawful command. It's not a lawful command for a police officer to show up at your property, not on your door, and when you answer, yell for you to put your hands up.
If they didn't have the right property, right. You're saying?
If he's got a warrant, okay, maybe that's a lawful command. But if he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, I don't think that's a lawful order.
Having a gun is not a death sentence. Like, that's basically like saying, well, he felt scared because he saw the gun in the guy's hand, so that's why he told him to put his hands up. Having a gun should not be a death sentence just because somebody else is a cop.
And if you're holding a gun, what are you supposed to do? They said put your hands up. And evidently,
that's the point I'm making here.
You
were instructed
up
to do something that then led to your death in that case, right?
It's like Simon Says.
You didn't put your hands up in the way they wanted you to put your hands up. You know?
Remember that kid in the hotel that got shot because he had a BB gun or whatever that people saw through his window, and they called the police there, and then they like crawl on your knees, put your legs locked together.
Yeah, he was in the hotel hallway, and they told him to do a thing that he couldn't do because they told him to do like two different things or something.
Yeah, it was Simon Says.
Yeah, you could only do one of them and follow the orders. And he couldn't follow both of the orders at the same time, and they shot him to death. So
something's got to be done. Like I said, disarm the police. When I ran for sheriff, that was one of my signs. I really think that should happen. When you become a police officer, your job should be to protect and serve people, right? Mm-hmm. No part of that requires you to shoot and kill people. And if you want to go out there and actually, you know, shoot and kill people, maybe being a police officer shouldn't be your career choice. Maybe you should just be a killer like everyone else who does that, instead of having a badge that somehow makes it acceptable.
Yep. If you want to comment here, feel free to join us at 603-283-6160. And I'll see if I can find any more angles of this thing that maybe make the situation a little bit more clear. But all that said, we were talking about some money-related stuff earlier. And, Aria, you had a story about how $1 trillion been apparently exited the United States economy. Bank loans are dropping. There's not as many people taking out loans today. But in other related news, Bloomberg is reporting that about $1.5 trillion in U.S. commercial real estate debt is coming due for repayment before the end of 2025. The big question facing those borrowers is who is going to lend to them. Refinancing risks are front and center for owners of properties from office buildings to stores to warehouses, according to an analyst writing in a note this past week. The investment bank estimates office and retail property valuations could fall as much as 40% from peak to trough, increasing the risk of defaults. Adding to the headache, small and regional banks, the biggest source of credit to the industry, have been rocked by deposit outflows, which is what you were just talking about, Aria, people taking their monies out of these banks, putting them in other things like mutual funds, for instance. So what's happening here,
or gold and silver and cryptocurrency is what I would suggest.
Right, and what's happening here is the what we're talking about is $1.5 trillion in commercial U.S. real estate debt that is going to have to get paid. But the problem is people don't need commercial real estate like they used to. That's what the problem is.
Right, it's, because of COVID-19 and people working from home now.
Exactly. A lot of people decided, a lot of businesses decided it would be okay to allow their employees to work from home. And so there was a mass exodus from of employees going home and staying home, not coming back to the office, even though they could come back to the office. Many decided they were just going to leave the area entirely of the office and work remotely. And so that means that a lot of these businesses that are in commercial real estate have left. They've canceled their lease. They paid the early termination fee and said, you know what? We don't need this $80 million building anymore. We're going to set up shop in this, you know, office park over here at a tenth of the price or whatever, right? So there's been a lot of that going on. And as a result, the owners of these properties, they don't have paying tenants in a lot of these cases.
How tragic.
So how
my heart goes out to them.
Well, I see what you're saying about this, but this is going to be tough on a lot of people, and that is going to hurt, to some extent. It's going to hurt these businesses, and that may result in job losses and whatever. I'm sure there's going to be some serious economic consequences to a bunch of property that can't be filled going essentially off the...
And I don't want to be too cold here, but isn't most of the commercial real estate out there, like, owned by corporations anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Well, screw them. I mean, oh, no. You know, what? Realty Company Y is losing out $3.5 billion. I don't care. I mean, I'm sure that $3.5 billion will work its way into the economy somehow or in some way, probably. And that is going to be hard for, like, the realtors and the janitors or whatever who actually work in these places to keep them maintained, or the contractors who do the work on them, all of those things, they do suck. And that is tragic. But the company itself, I don't care. Screw them.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from on that. And, you know, I'm certainly not a financial expert on this, but I do have one takeaway here from the story. And it says that as much as 70% of other commercial real estate loans that mature over the next 5 years are held by banks. So that means that those banks are going to, that money's going to disappear, right? Like, those things are going to have to be foreclosed upon. The banks won't be taking in that revenue or whatever. And that could result in more bank failures, presumably. That could result in people that have accounts at those banks getting screwed. Now, of course, you know, you could consider taking some of your money out of the banks.
I would suggest that.
In preparation for the worst possible situation. I know Aaron Day, the Republican presidential candidate and liberty activist here from New Hampshire, has recommended doing a bank run. He's been trying to get a lot of attention for the idea of taking your money out from these systems. Because if the bank crashes and burns and all you got in there is, like, you know, a couple $100, it isn't going to be the end of the world. But if you get your life savings in a bank, then that could be a very inconvenient situation. So essentially, this commercial real estate situation could be another contributing factor to sort of advancing the failure of these banks.
And the banking system is like a game of musical chairs, man. There's never enough chairs to go around. Be one of the early ones to pull your money out before the banks run out of money.
We continue here. They're already out of money. They just don't want you to know it, essentially. 603-283-6160. You can join the show and bring up whatever you want on Free Talk Live.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News update. Charges have been filed against a white Missouri man in his 80s after he shot a black teenager who rang his doorbell by mistake.
The defendant is charged with an A felony. It's the highest level of offense in the state of Missouri. It carries with it a range of punishment of 10 to 30 years or life imprisonment.
Clay County prosecuting attorney Zachary Thompson added there is a racial component to the case, but would not elaborate. The mayor of Akron, Ohio is calling for peace after a grand jury decided not to bring charges against officers involved in the shooting death of Jaylen Walker. The shooting happened last June when 8 officers, 7 of them white, were involved in shooting an unarmed Walker who is black. China has been running a secret police station in New York City. The facility was used by the Chinese government to track down and intimidate dissidents and activists. Charges have been filed against at least 2 Chinese suspects. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Bring up what you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We continue here with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And also want to say thank you to Nelson Aquino, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Nelson is platinum level, which means that he is contributing at least $25 a month to what we do here at Free Talk Live, spreading the ideas of liberty and peace, freedom, cryptocurrency, alternatives like precious metals to the status quo of just keeping your money in a bank account.
Yeah, wow, thank you, Nelson.
Yeah, thank you, Nelson. Definitely going above and beyond what we ask for, which is only $5 a month. So if you want to join Nelson, you can do that for as little as $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live. Once again, it's amps.freetalklive.com. If you don't like Patreon, however, we have another option for you. You can support us directly through our Odyssey channel, which you can go to video.freetalklive.com. You'll find the way to join up at the top of the page there. And again, you can use your debit card, your credit card on Odyssey. I think Patreon allows that and PayPal. So different ways for you to support the show. Check out amps.freetalklive.com or video.freetalklive.com. So I said we were going to talk about the young people in America, specifically Generation Z. They're having trouble with their finances. And it may not just be Generation Z. It may also be affecting millennials.
Well, at least they're not eating Tide Pods anymore.
Those ones are dead, I think, at this point.
There's that one guy that smoked his Tide Pod in a dab rig.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It looked really painful. He was, like, dying.
Yeah. That's Darwinism, right? Like, yeah. You know,
I did the nutmeg thing in high school.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right? Right.
So this is from the Wall Street Journal. Many young adults are overwhelmed by financial stress.
That's because they weren't taught how to do this, because schools were too busy teaching them how to diagram synthesis or to be upset about gender choices.
To be fair, they didn't teach us how to do it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm technically like borderline Gen X and millennials, and I doubt they taught much of anything, of any kind of financial intelligence prior to me as well.
I was forced to take everybody had to take a financial literacy class in my federal government school in Utah before graduating.
And what did that contain?
Well, I don't really remember everything. I know that one thing is we read The Richest Man in Babylon, which is a pretty
good
thing.
Book. Yeah.
But I don't really remember anything else because I calculated that I only needed to get a D to just pass it, and I was still going to be like valedictorian and everything. Mm. So I just did as much as I could had to do, then quit going.
So you took the class, but barely passed.
I passed as little as I had to pass.
I'm surprised such a class like that even exists. I mean, it definitely did not exist in my high school.
I don't really remember anything else. I remember taking this test to see how risky each of us were, and the other kids were like, wow, I got a 80. Oh, my gosh. And mine was, like, crazy risky. I was like, I'm not going to say mine out loud.
And this was about how much risk you were willing to take?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because one of our chatters, I think it was Jay, he posted earlier a link to a tweet by Rob Henderson that says, striking evidence that Generation Z truly stands apart from Generation X and millennials. From the early 90s up until the mid-aughts, about half of teenagers said they enjoyed doing dangerous things and taking risks sometimes. And now that
that's the point of being a teenager, right? Is to do stupid things and take stupid risks.
You'd think. Well,
is that up or down now?
It's down. Now
that does make sense.
It's below 40% now.
That makes sense because in that class and in my whole school, I was the oldest by a long shot because I did third grade twice. Mm-hmm. When I was a senior, I was like the oldest by 6 months at least in my own class. And then there was also like sophomores and whatever the other one is, juniors in that class. So they were all younger than me by like 2 to 3 years. And they all were like, oh my God, I'm so risky. And theirs was like so much lower than mine.
So wait, they thought they were too risky.
They were like, oh my God, I'm so risky, LOL. But theirs was way less risky than my results.
Look, people, once you turn 18, the stupid shenanigans can get you in a lot of legal trouble. There is a huge difference between a 17-year-old doing something stupid and an 18-year-old doing something stupid. So enjoy it while you're young and be a stupid, reckless teenager. Just don't do anything that hurts anyone. But be stupid, be reckless. That's the point of being a teenager. Learn from these things, right? Do something stupid, learn a valuable lesson, and apply that to your adulthood. If you wait until you're an adult, because you're going to do something stupid, right?
Mm-hmm. If you wait until in your life, you will do something stupid at some point.
If you wait until you're an adult, the consequences for doing that stupid thing will be exponentially higher.
My stupid things were got stupider as I got older, up until I turned like 24 and stopped doing stupid things, because I didn't really drink in high school. Like, I was like, I tried it, didn't like it. Wasn't really a drinker. Then I was like 19. My way older friend, who was like 30, was like, yeah, just drink with me. And I started really liking alcohol. And I feel like my stupid things got much stupider at a bad time, because being 19 is not a good time to start doing stupider things. That's why I almost got a DUI.
So some of them tune out bank and credit card balances, lose track of their spending, and rack up debt.
Okay, so that's not the kind of risk I'm talking about. I mean, I guess that's okay. If you want to destroy your credit and then file bankruptcy or whatever and deal with that when you're in your mid-20s, maybe. But that's a bad kind of reckless and stupid. Don't do that.
Right? Yeah, no, this isn't about Tide Pods here. This is about financial intelligence. And apparently younger people are just, they don't want to pay attention to it.
I don't know anyone who tried to eat a Tide Pod.
Thank goodness.
Well, it's not fun, right? Being responsible and financially stable is not fun. It's not glamorous. No one's going to write a book about it or do a Hollywood series about it. But it's necessary. It's like brushing your teeth, right? It's not risky. It's not dangerous. It's boring. It's dull, and you don't want to do it, but it's important, and you got to do it.
If you want to have a future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Average credit card debt rose 29% to $5,800 in March from a year earlier for millennials.
Good Lord.
For millennials. And it increased 40% for Gen Z up to $2,800.
So, why are people putting this much on credit?
Well,
I don't understand that.
I think the argument here is that they don't want to change their lifestyle. Prices are going up, and they don't want to cut back. So they're just putting it on credit.
But that's not even risky. That's
kick
just
the can
stupid.
Down the road.
Okay. I never did that. I just didn't use credit. Worked every day and didn't have savings, so that was pretty risky in it of itself. But I was like, I don't want to get a credit card.
I would recommend using credit because it gets you in their system, it gets you a score, and that's going to matter one day because most people aren't going to have $300,000 to just buy a house.
But
right?
You don't get taught how to use credit, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe they taught it in the class Bonnie didn't pay attention in, but generally, it's confusing as hell. There's a weird set of rules about credit out there, and unless you actually do the research to try to get a grasp on it, it's like, you know, you don't know, right? Like, so.
Well, I could be wrong, but I thought the basics was get some sort of secured credit card when you turn 18 with like a $200 or $300 balance on it. Spend some of it and then just pay it each month. And
yes.
In time.
Yes. That's what you should do.
Your credit score will improve and you'll be able to go in and buy a house.
Will.
I did stuff like that. I only have. It's embarrassing. I had a store credit card, and I was like, oh, I'll use this, only pay it off every month, just because only buy stuff that I'm going to buy anyway to get credit. And I did that, and there was a time where I went a little too over. But this is all during the 3 years that I had a very stable, full-time hotel job.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was like, I can't do this anymore, it's like, you have to choose between, do you want to be in some building for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and be able to get a credit card, or... do you want to go do more stuff that is more fun and have more freedom, but you have to work every single day, basically, like I was doing? I don't know. I just think that people are in really hard rock and hard place type of situations, and I think Ian and Aria are being too hard on them because it's not like Gen Z people were asked to be born into graduating high school and now we're in a terrible recession. Oh, the worst prices of all times or whatever, and rent...
Please. I'm from a dirt poor family, and everyone I know from the South, I think about my sister, they have terrible credit scores, and in the event that they improve their credit enough to take out, to actually get a credit card, it's going to be a secured one because they're rebuilding from bad credit. But even if they manage to do that, it's just a matter of time before they max it out and stop paying the bill. Almost universally.
That's the problem.
So I don't know that I'm being too hard on these people. I'm just speaking from, and this isn't true of everyone in Gen Z, and it's not true of every millennial or whatever, but in my experience, most of the people who are making these reckless financial decisions are doing so negligently, not recklessly. I would suggest that that's the verbiage that should be used here, is they're being negligent, not reckless.
Meaning that negligence would be, I just don't know what I'm doing, versus reckless, which is like, screw it, I'll just ruin everything. Is that what you would say, like, the differences between...
Sort of, and maybe reckless isn't even the right word. They're not taking risks, is what I mean to say. They're not
taking
risks.
Well, they are taking a risk.
It's not a calculated risk, is what you mean. Like, they're not like, oh, I'll do this, and I think it can work out.
They don't understand the risk.
They just don't care.
When I think about taking risks, I think, all right, investing in Bitcoin or gold or this stock or GameStop or whatever, that's a financial risk.
Yeah.
Not paying your credit card bill isn't a financial risk.
Yeah.
That's just negligence.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So younger people, they say, were also more likely to have paid late fees or taken advances from their credit cards.
Oh, God, those are all terrible ideas.
Yeah, because they charge you like crazy.
I mean, late fees, sometimes you can't control that. I'm not going to beat them about that. Overdraft fees, they didn't mention those, but that's a real killer. Banks love overdrafts, and they love charging you $27, $35, whatever, per overdraft. And find you a bank that won't let you overdraft. I know it's tempting, guys. Believe me, I'm from that world. I know how it is, right? You know, I need a pack of cigarettes, and I can just swipe my card, and then I'll pay that $37 overdraft fee on my next payday. Look, just find another way. Get a bank that won't let you overdraft,
right,
and pay your bills on time.
Yeah, it's this negligence is, you know, a big problem because they don't know how. A lot of people just don't know how credit cards work. they, in many cases, think it's like free money or something like that.
Well, surely they know they have to pay it, right?
You would think. Then there's all the interest rates, the how many people really understand that and how it works. I don't know.
I don't understand. What I would recommend, really, for all of these people is to get a credit card, put all of your bills on it, and then just pay your credit card bill each month. Instead of paying the individual bills, it's slightly more expensive to a degree, but instead of paying your $300 electricity bill and your $70 internet bill, just pay all of that with your credit card automatically every month, and then pay your credit card bill. It's maybe $380 instead of $370, but it builds your credit, it gets all your bills paid, and you don't have to think about it. All of your stuff is happening automatically.
This is presuming you can afford to pay your bills,
okay,
right? And this is the problem that people are getting into with credit, is they're putting more on credit they can afford to pay, right? Like that's the basic error with people and credit cards. It's like you're putting things on there you don't have enough money to pay for in the bank, so you're carrying a balance. And as soon as you start carrying a balance on a credit card, you're losing.
Is that what I think credit cards are for?
I don't know what people actually think about. Yeah. All we know is how they use them.
Okay, fair.
And if you're not paying it off at the end of the month, then you're paying too much because they're hitting you hard for that interest rate.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. That does seem to be more of the core issues. They just don't understand how credit cards are supposed to be used.
I think you're right about that. I think some people see the minimum payment number, right? Because whenever you get a credit card bill, it's got the amount that you owe, which could be hundreds or thousands or whatever of dollars, whatever the amount is that you owe. And then there's this much smaller number that says minimum payment. Hey, 20 bucks. Sweet. I'll pay 20 bucks and kick the can down the road to the next month. And then the number just keeps getting larger and larger of the balance that you owe the credit card company.
That's happened to me.
But the minimum payments stay small, right? And then you just keep loading up the card, and before you know it, you're way in over your head.
And that's how they get these $5,000 in credit card debts or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
And remember, that's the average. So
here's a calculated risk. In when I got my tax return in 2018, I could have paid off that store card I was telling you about, or I could have got coconut. Now, what was a better choice?
Well, I mean, we do love coconut.
Yeah. Exactly.
But paying of it.
Did you pay the card off eventually?
Yes, I paid it off. I made it my goal to make sure I actually paid it off before I moved from Utah to Texas, because I had a steady job and I was able to do that. It just was hard because it's like, I can pay this off as long as I do absolutely nothing fun for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
3 months is not a long time to go without any sort of social activity, though.
But you did it. You set a goal for yourself, and you achieved that goal. And I think that's one thing that you would find that a lot of these people don't have. They don't have financial goals that they're setting. They don't have any idea what they're spending. They have no idea what they're really doing because they don't want to pay attention. Psychologists, according to the story at the Wall Street Journal, call these behaviors financial avoidance. And they say it's a typical habit among younger people in any time frame. But the pandemic's economic whiplash, followed by high inflation, is making such avoidance more common, say the economists. The consequences of ignoring bank and credit card accounts include overspending, damaged credit, and deep debt. Millennials in their 30s have the steepest increase in debt of any age group since the pandemic. Avoidance can complicate later.
I believe it, because millennials are the worst.
Avoidance can complicate later milestones, such as buying a home or retiring, right? Because if you get a credit card balance that you're not paying down enough to make it go away, and then 10 years later, you want to get a house for yourself, you're not getting a loan.
No, and you're not putting away things for retirement. Look, if you're in your 30s by now, you should be putting money away for your inevitable retirement, right? But if you're living on credit and you're not paying off your bills each month, then you're not putting money away.
Spending tends to be more satisfying than budgeting or tracking your expenses. This is according to Dr. Vail Wright, the senior director at the American Psychological Association, who studies stress and anxiety. Quote, even if cognitively, you know it's not really the healthiest coping choice to engage in. They're saying that young people are more likely to just spend stuff because it's just, you get the thing you want, right? Oh, I'll just put it on the credit card. And this is why, ultimately, credit cards were invented. There's the right way to use them, which you identified earlier, Aria. You don't spend more than you can afford. You pay it off at the end of the month. But the credit card companies don't make as much money that way.
I was going to say, why would they even invent them? Right. If everyone used it like that.
Yeah, they want you to carry a balance. Credit cards are designed to take advantage of financially low intellect people who think it's free money, who don't think about, you know, their finances, don't pay any attention, and then they just get into thousands of dollars of
debt. But to be fair, I am glad I had that experience with the store card where I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. I was stressed out about it all the time until I finally paid it off, because it kind of put that, instilled that into me to where I was like, I'm just never having a credit card again.
See, I got one way to deal with it.
I go through periods like that where I'm like, all right, it's time to actually treat credit seriously and build it up or whatever. And then, like, 2 years later, it's not that I destroy my credit. I just stop caring. So I pay off everything and then just forget about it for 5 years. And then I look up again and go, oh, crap, I don't have any credit now. And then I repeat the stupid process again.
Avoidance is a common coping mechanism for all forms of anxiety. And, of course, what do young people say these days?
I have anxiety.
They all say they have anxiety and depression. It's the most common thing you hear.
And they don't know what anxiety is.
Someone with social anxiety avoids parties. Someone with fear of heights might avoid getting on a plane. The APA Stress in America 2022 survey found that 83% of adults reported inflation as a source of stress. James Gay, who's 22, says he's reckoning with the effects of his financial avoidance since the pandemic. In 2020, he moved from Mayo, Florida, to Tallahassee in Florida to attend the university there, sharing a three-bedroom apartment with two friends. With everything closed and his classes completely online, he said he ordered from DoorDash instead of cooking. Whoops.
Wow.
You want to talk about a huge increase in what you're going to start,
spend. That's insanely irresponsible. That's way bigger of a level of irresponsibility than I have ever done.
It is. DoorDash is like $30 a meal, no matter what.
For what
you
might pay for like $6 if you went out, right? Instead of cooking.
And don't get me wrong, I love DoorDash when I can afford it.
I would never use DoorDash. To me, it's like I'm going out.
The purpose of DoorDash for me was like if I had been drinking.
That's exactly what I used it for. If I was like, okay, I'm taking a day off from doing Uber Eats and I'm going to get drunk and clean my house, then I would be like, I'm going to treat myself to Uber Eats. And I only did it twice, I think.
Obviously, cooking your own food is the way to save a lot of money, right? Like, that's what somebody who, if you want to be on a budget, cook your own food, then you're going to save a ton of money.
They just don't have the ability to cook. It's like, it's not like singing, where, like, if you're just born a bad singer, you're probably not going to be able to be a singer. Like, you can learn to cook. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Like, I don't understand. With the phone, there's no excuse to say you can't cook.
You don't need to learn unless you're inventing dishes. You just have to be able to follow a recipe.
Correct.
But some people are like, even when I follow a recipe, I just do it wrong. And I seriously don't understand that. Yeah.
They even have these boxes, right? Like the food boxes that people send you.
Don't you get back into the more expensive areas if you're doing these?
I think that's
expensive.
It's going to be cheaper than eating out. I don't know
how much more expensive eating out is versus cooking your own meals. I mean, for one person in my situation,
it's way cheaper to do it yourself. But the thing is, what you don't want to do when you're doing it yourself is end up throwing food away, right? So you don't want to have food go bad. So there are potential hidden costs.
You have to be able to eat leftovers. And there's this girl that I follow on Snapchat that Ian can't stand, and she is, quote unquote, has anxiety over leftovers. Ugh. So she will not eat anything if it's a leftover because she has, quote unquote, anxiety.
No, she has spoiled white girl syndrome.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're hungry, you'll eat some damn leftovers, right?
Yeah.
This girl's like getting paid to just be on TikTok all day or whatever.
If you didn't eat leftovers when I was a kid, then you didn't eat.
So anyway, let's talk more about this guy. His name again.
She has anxiety.
James
over eating leftovers.
Yeah, of course she does.
She's afraid that it's gone bad.
So James Gay said he started ordering DoorDash instead of cooking and shopped online to counter his uncertainty and boredom. He says that was my outlet to really enjoy my college experience.
That's terrible. Well, so you wouldn't go to like parties or something? You would just be online shopping. That was your only entertainment? That's really expensive.
No one was having parties. It was during COVID.
Oh.
Whatever happened to just playing World of Warcraft?
Yeah, well, instead of that, he developed a particular affinity for Crocs. And now owns about 15 pairs.
He wasn't going to parties either way.
He says, my budgeting plan was very loose, he said, who was also responsible for his own health insurance, phone bill, utilities, and car maintenance.
Okay, look, the guy has 15 pairs of Crocs. There was no budgeting plan at all.
He said, sometimes I'd forget about the bills. So he's just so busy doing the things he wanted to do that he didn't think about the things that he had
to do. How could you not be thinking
do?
About money when you're online shopping? Anytime, like, I'm online shopping, I'm thinking about, like, not spending too much money.
You are, I think, a little bit more frugal than the average Gen Z millennial person. And maybe it's because you learned some hard lessons. But he dipped into his savings to cover rent and utilities. Mr. Gay eventually received a call from his father, who had checked his credit card account and saw he'd used 90% of his $500 limit. After that, he changed his ways. He's lucky. This dude got caught early.
Less than $500 worth of credit, not that big a deal.
Avoidance seems to be greatest among Gen Zs and millennials. A survey last month by Credit Karma suggests 28% in each of those generations said they often or always feel a sense of financial disassociation. That is compared with 4% of baby boomers or older Americans. Quote, our culture is really big on overconsumption. We're constantly spending on things just to self-soothe, said Alexis Howard, 28-year-old financial advisor. Howard noticed this in her own spending behavior. She ordered clothes and furniture on Amazon during the pandemic, small purchases that would snowball into bigger expenses than she realized. At one point, she was spending about $500 a month on online shopping and takeout.
See, that's something I don't understand. I don't understand the people who fill the holes in their life with stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's a big problem.
There's a person that keeps popping in my mind, and he works really hard, so I don't think he, like, goes badly into debt because of it, but I just can't relate to the way he's, like, always needs new things. And I don't know, there's lots of people like that, and I'm thinking of him because he's Gen Z.
Well, it is exactly what Arya's saying here. It's somebody filling some sort of hole in themselves with things. It's consumerism. Right?
Especially like just things that sit on his like
a shelf.
Table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, like I got the Kim Kardashian selfie book just because it's a good tea table book.
My ex-wife was like that. Like every surface in the house had to have covered. Knickknacks and crap. I'm like, surface should be open for me to put stuff on when I need to use it. Right? Like, you couldn't go in our house and set a drink down because there were little knickknacks and cozies and books and crap everywhere that should have been put away.
That's
or that weren't even
hoarder
necessary.
Behavior right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, she wasn't nearly as bad at being a hoarder, but like...
That's why I said borderline.
Yeah, the whole point of having space is to enjoy the space, not to fill it with crap.
The number here is 603-283-6160. I totally agree with you in that philosophy, but I wonder how common that is.
Because I'm borderline a Buddhist when it comes to that, so it can't be that common.
Yeah, I don't think it's very common either. I think that people tend to fill spaces. That is a thing that humans do. And it's a problem. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.